Turn to Romans 1, please. Romans 1. We want to start where we left off last week. Actually going to go back over a couple of verses that we went over. So the last few weeks we've been speaking about, we started out on God's sovereignty from Romans 9. But once you get into God's sovereignty, His power, His will, once you get into Romans 9, get into verses like, He will have mercy on whom He desires, and He'll harden who He desires. And that was some scripture that can be hard to wrap your arms around. And we've been there the last couple of weeks, kind of breaking down Romans 9, and then we went into the Old Testament examples. He used Pharaoh, Paul did, for an example. We went into that experience from Exodus. And as we went on, Romans 1, I was looking for places in the New Testament where it was mentioned about hearts being hardened, okay? And we believe that in the grace age, that everyone has the opportunity to give their lives to the Lord, to accept Jesus Christ as Savior, and to be a member of the body of Christ. According to the Bible, it's open for everyone, and we believe that. Now, we also believe hearts are hardened. You can see it in today's society, that you'll see a lot of people like that, but we believe that they hardened their own hearts through rejection, through unbelief, and then it works from there. And Romans 1 is the perfect example. And I want to go back to, don't turn, but I want to go back to Romans 9 and just use the scripture that we based all this on. And it says, what shall we say then? There's no injustice or unrighteousness with God, is there? Far from it. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will show compassion to whomever I will show compassion. So then it does not depend on the person who wants it, nor the person who runs, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very reason I raised you up, in order to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the earth. So then he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. And we wanted to say one other thing that's very important. I'm glad I read that, or it would have totally slipped my mind. Everything that happens, even individuals who may do cruel acts, who obviously are not being moved by God, who are not listening to God, just like Pharaoh, he said, I don't know this God. Who's this God that I should obey him, and I will not let your people go? Well, Paul says there, God used that for his glory. So everything that's done in this world, no matter how bad it is, somehow God will get glory out of it. It's used for his glory. So remember that. So, Romans 1, let's go down to verse 21. Now, this was Paul speaking about familiar scripture, talking about how societies can fall, how civilizations fall, how every society goes down. And you're going to see here that one thing leads to another. It starts out with unbelief, and it just scales. It just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. It's like somebody telling a lie, and they have to tell another lie to cover that up, and another lie to cover that up, and another lie to cover that up. And before long, they don't even know what all they've lied about. You know, so it just gets worse and worse. So, just like it does here. So, verses 21 and 22. So, not giving thanks and recognizing God led to poor reasoning and darkened hearts. Okay, we talked about that last week. So, I'll say it one more time. Not giving thanks and recognizing God led to poor reason and darkened hearts. So, look at verses 21 and 22. For even though they knew God, They did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their reasonings, and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. So, in other words, they knew God, or they knew of God. Okay? You'll probably, I would say, at least 90% of the country believe there's some type of God. They don't know what it is, but they believe there's something out there. They believe there's a God, there's this great spirit, there's something. Okay? But that doesn't make you a believer. That doesn't get you close to God. Somebody saying, I believe in God, that's not enough. Okay? For example, I saw where Elon Musk said this week, somebody had put on social media that he's doing so much and he's got so much just pull in the world now, and he's such a powerful individual that they wish he would come to know the Lord, that he could do so many good works for the kingdom. And he responded, I believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ. So he believes there was a Jesus Christ, but that's not enough. Okay, he's not accepted the death, burial, and resurrection. He's not repenting. He's not come to the Lord. He's just saying, I believe there was a Jesus. Okay, and that's what a lot of people grapple with. You'll run into people every day. You may talk to them. You may witness to them. They'll say, oh yeah, I know there's a God. I believe there's a Jesus. And they believe that's enough. That's not enough. Okay? So it said they knew God. Okay, but they did not honor him as God, nor were they thankful. But they became futile in their reasonings, and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. They were going by their own intelligence, their own intellect, their own brilliance that they think they have, and that's what the world does today. Okay, we are farther along now in medicine, in technology, in military might, you name it. But we still can't cure a common cold. Okay? And what's worse than that, we're probably more morally corrupt now as a society than we've ever been in the United States and through much of the world. So their intellect and everything they know and what they're capable of doing as society, as mankind, still doesn't answer the spiritual questions that need to be answered. Okay? So it says the more they believe in their own intelligence, the worse off they get. They become fools. Okay? Verse 23 and 24. So you got to understand, it starts with not giving thanks and not recognizing God. Well, what's that lead to? Look at verse 23 and 24. Dishonoring God or denigrating God leads to immorality. And they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of the corruptible mankind, of birds, four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them up to vile impurity in the lust of their hearts, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. So you think about, it may not happen overnight. You think about generationally. You may have one generation that quit going to church. Let's say it's in the family. Let's say you've got the patriarch, the mom and dad, the grandmother and grandfather. They went to church. They taught the word. They believed it. They were Christian people. Well, this next generation came along and they knew God. They were raised up in church and Sunday school, but they got away. And there's no mention of it in their home. There's nothing in their home that lets you know that they're a Christian or they even acknowledge it. So they have kids that grow up. They don't grow up in that at all. And now all of a sudden the next generation comes along. They have no bearing. They have no knowledge of spiritually what's right and wrong. Okay? Everything's okay. It's up to the individual to decide, right? So I've said this. You take one generation, Ken, that quits going to church, quits believing in God, that quits recognizing God, And your society sunk. You've got a vacuum just through one generation. Okay? So you can see not giving thanks, all of a sudden it says it leads to vile impurity. They worship something else. Something else takes the place of God. In our society, it may not be four-footed animals and crawling creatures. It may be something totally all together. But there's something that fills that void for them. Okay? He gives them up to vile impurity, lust of their heart, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. So not giving thanks, not recognizing God, the next thing you know in your society, you've got it's just run amok. You've got immorality everywhere. Verses 25 through 27. Now we get into humanism. We put ourselves above God, and it leads to further and further levels of immorality and societal decay. For they exchanged the truth of God for falsehood. Okay? And worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Happens all the time. Look what we've done. Never mention God. I told you this. I watched 60 Minutes here. Gosh, this may have been a year ago. 6 months to a year ago. And they rebuilt the Notre Dame Church Cathedral in Paris. Beautiful. It caught on fire. Centuries old. Took over $1 billion to redo. And I'll say this. In no way am I a Kenneth Copeland, a Jesse Duplantis, any of those? Do I support those individuals? But they'll glorify this stuff, putting billions of dollars, and they've got more money than they can spend of how rich some of these denominations and churches are. And boy, they'll bash Jesse Duplantis and they'll bash Kenneth Copeland, and they need bashing, but they won't touch these others. So if they put over $1 billion in restoring the Notre Dame Cathedral, and this was like a 20-minute show, so they interviewed the ones who built it, members, the priest, all those, the cardinals there in Paris. There wasn't one mention of Jesus. Not one. They were praising this cathedral that they'd built. Not, look what we've done, look how beautiful it is. Not one mention of Jesus or God. Church. Okay? So, they worship the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave him over to degrading passions, for the women exchanged natural relations for that which is contrary to nature, and likewise to the men to abandon natural relations with women and burned into desire toward one another, males of males committing shameful acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. But, hey, hold on. Homosexuality in the Bible is only mentioned in the Old Testament. Right? No, it's not. Here it is. Some of you may have seen or saw the interview. It was on Stephen Colbert that was earlier in the week where I can't remember his name, but he's running for office in Texas. So he gets on, he talks about how the church has been hijacked by the conservatives. Okay? The Bible believers. Okay? It says the Bible, that Jesus and the Bible never says anything about abortion, and it never says anything about homosexuality, and it's been hijacked. Here you go. Okay? Exactly. Worshiping their own intelligence. Okay? And then what happens? They don't believe the Bible. So what happens now? It leads to this other stuff. Okay? Now, I'm not going to get into the argument where is all sin equal. Some will say yes, some will say no. But let me tell you something. There are things that this right here is a lot worse than jaywalking. Okay? It leads to something, and it leads to something, and it leads to something, and it leads to something. And you know in your lives, if you don't keep things in check, it can happen to any of us. Okay? So, you see there what happens. Now, I'm going to throw this in too. He said in it, And we're going to go back to knowing God but not honoring God. The same individual on Stephen Colbert said, just like Elon Musk, it was about the teachings of Jesus Christ, the social gospel. The social gospel won't save you. Okay? It's great to feed, and we're doing it here. So if anybody says, well, y'all don't feed the hungry, yeah, we do. You don't help those in need, yes, we do. Okay? But what about the ones, what about the soul? They forget about the soul. They do this other stuff, or they push this other stuff, and I don't know if they believe it. I don't know who they're helping, even if they are. But what happens is totally neglecting Christ died on the cross. And I've said this, I do not worship Jesus' ministry. Now that may sound, some people may, I can't believe you said that. I worship the risen Jesus. I worship the Jesus Christ that went to the cross and died for every one of our sins. Every one of us took our sin upon him, died the most horrible death you can imagine, and then went to the grave and rose again. That is the Jesus Christ I worship. And they will not touch that. They won't touch it. Okay? I can go, if somebody says that and they go, well, this is what it's all about. It's all about feeding the hungry and turning the other cheek. I said, that's fine. We need to do that. But as Benford Times said, my question would be, what have you done with the finished work of the cross? And that's what it comes, that's what you're going to be judged on. Okay? Whether you've accepted it or not. Okay? That's what the whole world's going to be judged on. Now, look at verses 28 through 31. The final failure to acknowledge God leads to a totally depraved mind in all parts of our lives. So look what it says. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a depraved mind. Hardening. It didn't happen at once. God didn't decide before you were born, Ken, that, well, poor old Ken, he's not going to have a chance. He'd been better off if he was never born. He's never going to have the opportunity. Yes, you are. Your decisions and what you do, like Benford said, with the cross, the finished work of the cross, what you do with God's word, that's going to decide on where your heart's at. Okay? That's going to decide. Because it said he gave them up to a depraved mind. To do those things which are not proper. People having been filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, their gossips, slanders, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unfeeling, unmerciful. Man, those last two, unfeeling and unmerciful. As my dad used to say, mine's seared over with a hot iron. He used to say that all the time. And that's true. No conscience. If you think that doesn't exist in the world, just look at some of the stuff that's on the Epstein list. I saw on Joe Rogan earlier in the week, there was a guy on there and he said, you know something? He said, I was raised in a Christian home. I was in California. He said, California's very secular. He said, I got away from it. I quit going to church. He said, I didn't go to church for years. He said, and they used to talk about people, about this stuff right here. About people being demonic. And he said, I didn't believe that stuff. Nobody I knew believed it. He said, if you read what's on some Epstein list stuff, he said, you'll believe it. He said, that's got me back where I want to go back to church. He said, and I want to find what's, I don't want that. And I don't want to be associated with people like that because now I understand it's real. You know, some of the things, if it's true, but they said some of the leaders of our world are doing the children and women and things like that. It's beyond comprehension. Absolutely turn over, unfeeling and unmerciful. That's where society goes. Okay? What's it start with? Not being thankful and not acknowledging God. Pharaoh said, who is this God that I should obey him? He didn't acknowledge God. And God hardened him. And we harden our hearts through these things. I need it as much as anybody. I need to try to keep things in check and constantly survey. And I like I said, I'm not perfect. There's so many. It seems like every time I pray, I have to start my prayer with, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me for this, for thinking this, for doing this, for saying this. Forgive me. But let me say this from my own experience. You know, sometimes I'll do that, and I'll just be like, Lord, I feel like every time I do it, every time I pray, I'm going into a confession booth. I know God gets tired of hearing it. And then you say, then you start skipping praying. In fact, you're ashamed. It's kind of like Adam and Eve. You remember the Garden of Eden when he came and they tried to hide? And we can catch ourselves hiding because we don't feel like we're up to the standard. Okay? We don't need to do that. We need to stay prayed up. We need to constantly confess. Repent. He wants us to. He's not going to get tired of that. But we need to constantly keep ourselves in check and monitor and make sure that things don't build on each other where we go down this road, because the people who don't acknowledge God, who don't pray, who don't seek to do what He wants them to do, there's no parameters and they just keep going and keep going and keep going. So, we talk about Pharaoh, and people said that he did not have a chance, right? Well, there's another one. Judas was one that people will say, man, he was just wrong place at the wrong time. He was God's toy. He never had a chance. Okay? Turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And I want you to see, I'm not a doom and gloomer at all. Okay? None of that. I just want you to see that God loves us and God gives everybody opportunities and God gives us grace where when we do wrong, God does right. You know, I have to pray all the time and I say, Lord, I don't know why you're as good to me as you are. I'm sorry, I let you down all the time. But He's a God of grace. Okay? So, but like I said, we need to honor Him and thank Him and appreciate that and live in His grace. So John 13, verse 21 through 27. And when Jesus had said these things, He became troubled in spirit and testified and said, truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me. The disciples began looking at one another at a loss to know of which one he was speaking. Lying back on Jesus' chest was one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. So Simon Peter nodded to this disciple and said to him, tell us who it is of whom he is speaking. He then simply leaned back on Jesus' chest and said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus then answered, that man is the one of whom I shall dip the piece of bread and give it to him. So when he has dipped the piece of bread, he took it and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. After this, Satan entered him. Therefore, Jesus said to him, what you are going to do, do it quickly. And we know what he did. He went and sold Jesus to the Romans for 30 pieces of silver. Told him where he was going to be at, the Garden of Gethsemane. The Roman soldier came and arrested him, and we know the rest of the story. The trial, the crucifixion, the death of our Savior. So people will look at this and say, he had no chance. Jesus gave him that bread He didn't know it was coming. He was like the rest of them. He didn't have a chance. Turn to John 17. John 17, verse 12. So my answer to that is that Judas all along filled some of these traits that we read in Romans that he was never in. Okay? He just followed. He was never in. So John 17, 12 said, "While I was with them," this is Jesus speaking, "I was keeping them in your name," talking about the disciples, "which you have given me." So God gave the disciples, the Father gave the disciples to Jesus the Son. "And I guarded them. And not one of them perished except the son of destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled." So Judas, he said, "Look, I guarded Judas. Okay? I did everything I could do along the way to keep Judas from falling away, from perishing here." He said that we wouldn't lose him. But he says Judas was the son of destruction. That's not really a title I would give somebody that never had a chance. He knew what Judas was all along. Okay? But he also said so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Well, what scripture? Turn to Psalms 41, 7 through 9. What scripture? What scripture was fulfilled when Judas betrayed? Now, I want to say this. Excuse me. Sorry, didn't mean to cough into that. So, prophecy concerns Israel. Prophecy concerns the law. So you've got to be careful when you hear people say today in the grace age that this prophecy, that the body of Christ is fulfilling this prophecy. It's not. Okay? Prophecy is before the body of Christ and then after the body of Christ. Prophecy is going to be what was fulfilled at there. Okay, prophecy is what's fulfilled after Christ comes back in the rapture, not the second coming, but the rapture. Then we have prophecy. Okay, this prophecy here before Christ went to the cross. All right, so Psalm 41, 7 through 9. I'm very clear, prophecy concerns Israel. Okay, now Psalm 41, 7 through 9. "All who hate me whisper together against me. They plot my harm against me, saying a wicked thing is poured out upon him. So when he lies down, he will not get up again. Even my close friends, whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." Okay? So the prophecy was what? Not only that Judas would betray, and he was the one who betrayed Jesus with the bread, but it says here, excuse me, that Judas was not to be trusted. Okay? There were things in Judas's life, and we don't know what they are, but according to this, he was the son of destruction, and it clearly says in the scripture, in the prophecy, he was not to be trusted. So Judas, there were things in his life that hardened him and hardened him and hardened him. And when Jesus gave him that bread, he already knew where Judas was at. He knew Judas, where he was at in his life, that Judas would do something like that, okay? Now, Judas had a free will to choose, but it was still done within God's plan. Judas chose, but he fulfilled the prophecy in Psalms 41. This led to Jesus' crucifixion. They were able to find him. And they would have found him even if Judas hadn't sold him out. But the greatest act that God could do, that Jesus could do, came because of this betrayal. And that was he went to the cross and died to save us of our sins. The greatest thing that's ever happened on earth, that and the resurrection. So even despite what Judas did, God's will came through. God was glorified, okay? Now, we're still not in the grace age, but his choice was still his own. God's sovereignty is just not something we've talked about, Calvinism, where you don't have a choice, that God knows, right, of what's going to happen. It is part of his purpose along with human free will. God knows the decisions you're going to make because of how close we are or we are not to him. There's a guy I've looked at some on YouTube. He's pretty interesting. His name's Chad Wright. And it's with two D's. Chad Wright's a Calvinist. I've mentioned Chad Wright on here before. Chad Wright, he lives in North Georgia up in the mountains somewhere. And he's a Navy SEAL, retired Navy SEAL. And he went to join the Navy SEALs. And he said, you got a heart defect. You can't join. He went and had heart surgery, open heart surgery done just so he could join the Navy SEALs. Okay? He's pretty well known. Does a lot of social media stuff. He's a Christian, but he's Calvinist. And he gave a description. I said, it's the best thing I've ever heard. He said, was explaining his view on Calvinism. And he says, I believe God knows. He said, let's just talk about maybe you pray and get healed. Okay? Or somebody's going to be healed, somebody's not going to be healed. He said, I believe God knows what's going to happen, or even like being saved. He said, God knows whether you're going to be saved or not beforehand. He said, but he also knows what your reaction is going to be, whether you're going to pray about things. If I said this, well, why should I pray about this, Judy? God already knows. God also knows whether or not I'm going to pray about it. God also knows what my approach is going to be, okay? And I thought that was very, very good the way he explained it. So if you say then that, hey, God knows, some people are going to be saved, some people are not going to be saved, God knows, it's up to God, we don't have a choice in it, we're just pawns in the game. I give you these three things from my experiences. As a school teacher, Patsy and I talked about that last week. Okay, after church. When somebody says they're going to do something, and we know this person well, we pretty well know beforehand whether or not they're going to do it. Somebody tells you, I promise you I'm going to do this. I promise you I'm going to do that. I'll be there. You already know. No, he ain't. I can't trust. No, he's not. He says this all the time. You know who will do it. You know people that will call you and say, I'll do this for you. And you know they're going to be there. Their words to bond. Patsy, and this is what we talked about. I have students, have them all the time. And they'll say, all right, you got a test. And they'll say, I promise you, I'm going to study tonight when I go home. Oh, that's funny. So, No. I know. Now, I know these three sitting over here will. Okay? So if they tell me they're going to study, yeah, they're going to study. And they're going to make good grades. But when I have somebody say that, okay, and they don't study, and they fail, what, you know what's going to happen. They're going to fail the test. So you talk to them afterwards, and I'm going, all right, thought you were going to study. I did. I don't know how I made that grade. No. Just tell me the truth. Well, you're right. I did. Okay? Same way spiritual life. We promise God we're going to do things, and God knows even beforehand whether we're going to come through or not, whether we're going to do it. God knows. Okay? A lot of us know from others. I'm not judging you at all, and I would never say that, but you kind of have an idea, you know, who. If you want somebody to pray for you or there's something, you go to somebody you trust. You know, so that's one thing. Secondly, God honors faith. He knows our response. Okay? He knows whether or not we're going to pray beforehand. He knows whether or not we're going to seek his face beforehand. He knows whether or not we're going to have a concern. And we're going to approach this thing spiritually. He knows. If we have something that comes up in our life, where do we turn to? We turn to God, we turn to other things. He knows. Number three, like I said, God knows if we're active or not in the Christian walk. Okay? So these things beforehand, God knows what's going to happen in our lives, but He knows what our response is going to be before and after. All right? And the incredible thing is how many times God is good to me when I'm not good to Him. Okay? So don't ever say, God's not good to me, or God's not just, or I don't have a chance. Yes, you do. God's much better to us. I can't think of one person that God's, that person's better to God than God is to them, no matter how bad it is. Okay? God is just all-powerful, all-knowing. He's just great. So, continuation in sin and poor spiritual choices lead to our hearts being hardened. But God uses those individuals through hardening to further His kingdom. In the grace age, we harden our own hearts through a lack of faith and disobedience. Turn to Ephesians 4. Turn to Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. And we're also going to go into 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So these kind of really play out what Paul was writing in Romans 1. But Ephesians 4, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but reading 17 through 24, you can write all that down. I'm just going to read the first couple of verses, 17 and 18. So I say this and affirm in the Lord, that you are no longer to walk just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility or vanity of their minds. So what's he talking about there? When he says Gentiles, he's just not speaking about non-Jews. He's spoke about individuals here who have had no access to spiritual things, no access to the gospel. And remember what Paul said, Israel had all the advantages. They had the law, they had the ordinances. They knew how they were supposed to act. They knew how they were supposed to live. So you have the rest of the world that's never been exposed to the gospel, never been exposed to God, who have their own gods, who live in society as bad as it can get, and anything goes. And he says, don't act like them. See, you are no longer to walk as they walk in the vanity of their minds. Well, their minds are full of vanity. That's all it is. They've been hardened by their actions. They've been hardened by their decisions. This is not a law problem. It's a heart and a soul issue. They have no substance. Faith is the substance of hope. I have no spiritual hope without faith in Jesus Christ. When you don't have that, then anything on the other side's possible. So they have no hope in Christ. Okay? And look at verse 18. It says, being darkened in their understanding. Hardened. Darkened. They were blind. They had no, even if they heard it, they had no way to understand it. Okay? Because of the way they lived in their actions. Of course, we know the Lord then, when it's presented, the Lord convicts, and then you open your hearts and you receive. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is good news. I mean, it is. Everything we talked about, I mean, it's not some of the more, I mean, it's not the Christmas message, but it's good news because we know God has grace to everyone. God gives us the opportunity not to be this. And I'm thankful for that. He's given every one of us the opportunity. He's saying, it's like Dwight L. Moody said, there by the grace of God go I. nothing that I've done, but by God's grace, I don't have to be like this. Okay? And we have the power through Jesus Christ to choose the other direction. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 and 4. And even if the gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. So it's darkened. Okay? To the perishing. They don't understand. They don't want to understand. In whose case the God of this world. Who's the God of this world? Satan. Okay? You remember Jesus during the 40 days when he's out in the wilderness, he's being tempted, and the devil tempts him three times. He says, hey, if you throw yourself down here, takes him up on the mountain, look, these are my kingdoms. You can have it all, okay, if you worship me. And then he says, you can have it if you throw yourself down. The angels will save you, all that. Okay? It was his to get. Okay? He owned those because they worshiped the god of this world, which was Satan. He had it to give. So he wasn't lying. I doubt he'd have gave it to him if he'd have done it. But he's right in that sense. So he says the god of this world, that's not our God, Jehovah. Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they will not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. All right? Lehman used to say it all the time. And he would say, I didn't know. I didn't think nothing about it. I didn't want to know. I was in the same boat. I didn't either for years. Didn't want to know. Okay? And it just gets harder and harder and harder and harder until something bad had to happen to my family to get my attention. Okay? Morgan had to be in the emergency room and in the hospital for 3 weeks to get my attention. I remember a guy said once growing up in church, he was a neighbor of ours, and he'd got saved. Older than me. Older guy. And I remember him giving his testimony in church, and he talked about things that you'll hear, LaDonna, 50 years ago. And this is the same thing. I remember him getting up and saying, he said, I ran from God, I ran from God, I ran from God, and he put me to a place where I couldn't run anymore. He put me on my back. And he was in the hospital. He got saved in the hospital after having several open heart surgeries and a heart attack, and he almost died. And he understood. Okay? So, God could get our attention. Okay? As Christians, God can certainly put things in our lives to get our attention. All right, now, turn back to Ephesians 4. And I want to read the rest of it. Now, I said I wouldn't read it, but I had it down here. I want to read 19 through 24. Remember, in 17 and 18, he had said they were darkened in their understanding and it was veiled. Look what 19 says. Excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their hearts. So their just constant ignorance, their constant unbelief leads to the hardness. The hardness is not the first thing. The hardness is built. Okay? It's like we said last week where the guy said, you know, it's like your heart can either be like wax or it can become something callous. God's grace can either melt it or it can harden it. God's grace is like the sun. And they, having become callous, have given themselves up to indecent behavior. So one thing leads to another. Okay? For the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness. But, thank God for but, you did not learn Christ in this way. So we've got this, and you've got an alternative. It's your choice. Indeed, you have heard him and you have been taught of him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former way of life, you used to live like this. We all did. Okay? You are to rid yourselves of the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Your mind, you've been hardened and you're constantly on that. And that you are renewed in the spirit of your minds to put on the new self, which is the likeness of God that has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So how do I, and we're closing here, how do I keep my heart soft? Keep it where it's supposed to be. Keep my heart from being hardened. Stay in that narrow way that the Lord wants me to stay in. How do I do that? Well, Ephesians 2:3 says, put off the old man. Turn to Ephesians 2 verse 3 right quick. And it sounds just like it. Okay? Among them, we too all previously lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the rest. We were born like that. We were all born into that. Jesus had to come die for us, then the Holy Spirit convicts us, and we choose the cross. We choose Jesus Christ. We choose not to go that route. Okay? They're diametrically opposed as much as they can be. Okay? Now, this can't happen until you learn something first. Renewing your mind. Just as we spoke about in Romans. Okay? So, go to Romans 1:11. Your mind has to be renewed. Look what Paul prays for when he goes to the Romans. I've got two more verses here and we'll be done. When you renew your mind, you're going to get spiritual gifts. God's going to grow you. Just like the other is a practice, and one thing leads to another, and one thing leads to another, and one thing leads to another, and you go down. Well, In Christianity, in your faith, in your walk of faith, one thing builds on another, builds on another, builds on another, and gets stronger. You go the other direction. Paul says, for I long to see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift to you so that you may be established. So you can become established, you can become solid by choosing this direction and growing spiritually. And God, and Paul says, you'll gain spiritual gifts. We all have been given spiritual gifts that grow. Okay? Now, like we said, Romans 4:24 said, put on the new man. It's already been created for the body of Christ. You as the new creature, the member of Christ, that is what matters. Turn to Galatians 6. This is going to be our last verse. Galatians 6, 15 through 16. How do I do the right thing? How do I make sure I'm not hardened? How do I make sure that I'm doing, that my heart stays soft, that I stay where in my life, in my Christian walk, that I'm where I need to be? Galatians 6, 15 through 16. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. When you give your heart to the Lord, when you become a Christian, a believer, you become a new creation. So anybody that's here, anybody that's listening, you're not saved. The things that I've read that you don't want to be, that society doesn't and shouldn't be, that's what happens when you're an unbeliever. That's what happens when you don't accept Christ. But this says you were made to be the new creation. The new creation is what happens the second you give your heart to the Lord. Okay? Now We have that heart that the Lord can work with, that heart that the Lord can soften. And we grow spiritually by living in Him and doing what He would have us do, and pray, and read the Bible, and show the fruits of the Spirit. That's how we stay on the right path. And all who will follow this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Paul says this: if you live that way, if you give your heart to the Lord, if you are a member of the body of Christ, that's what you're made to be, you're going to have peace and mercy from God. Okay? There's the bad way. There's the broad road. There's the narrow road. I invite anybody, if you're here and you're not on that narrow road, if you've not accepted Christ as your Savior, anybody that's listening, it's your choice. You're hearing the word. It's your choice. It's not, well, I don't have a chance. Or, if you don't have a chance right now, when are you ever going to have a chance? Okay? You've heard the word. You know what God requires. You know what you have to do. Believe. So, Lord, I want to become a Christian. I believe in your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you came and died for me. You died for my sins. You did it just for me. You went to that cross just for me. And you rose. It didn't stop right there. You rose. So I know you're a living God. I know you're alive. And I want to live, and I want you to live in me because you're alive. And I'm not going to do what I used to do. And I want to be a new creature. God will save you. God will turn anybody away. Nobody. If you're a Christian and you say, you know, I'm getting a little lax on things, I'm not walking, and I'm talking to me. I do this, and I just have to repent over and over and over and over. You're not walking the way you need to walk. You're not living the way you need to live. Okay? You can take it to the Lord. Okay? And you can start it over just like nothing ever happened. Because that's the thing. He's always there to receive you. He's always there to say, to heal you spiritually. He's always there to say, I understand. You're mine. I see you as God's righteousness. You're covered by the blood. You're in the body of Christ. You can turn it over. No matter which situation you are, you can turn it around like that. Martha Jo. The new creature you created to be. Accept who you are. You were put on this earth. You were by God and His actions and His grace and mercy built to be in the body of Christ and to walk the right way and to do the right things and to live the life as a Christian that He wants you to live. It's all there for you. Thank you.